Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. I'm Steve Williamson.
I'm Mike Cosentino here.
And we're doing a show on an important local issue today. And we've got a couple of guests in the studio, Mike.
Yes, here on Democratic Perspective, from time to time, we do the off-political things, although this is political in some ways. We have some knowledgeable guests on home rule, folks.
Yes, Let's introduce our guests. First, we have Justin Clifton. You're the city manager of Sedona. Sedona has a city manager form of government, which means that the council hires somebody to basically do the executive management of the city. And you're that guy.
That's me.
And you did it before in Colorado. You came here from
I served in two communities in Colorado, Delta and Bayfield.
Okay. And then you came to Sedona. How long have you been city manager?
Three happy years.
Okay. And we have Steve Segner, who is the owner, proprietor, and genius behind El Portal. I don't want to call it a boutique hotel. He might get mad at me, but his
that
hotel.
Works.
And you're also the chair of the hospitality.
Sedona Lodging Council.
Sedona Lodging Council. And you're on the Chamber of Commerce. And Steve,
member
of the State Bureau of Town. So Steve's very active in local issues and very much involved. Justin's going to tell us about what home rule is, but there are a lot of rules about what he can do and what he can't do. So he's a city employee. He cannot advocate home rule. For us, for Mike and I to explain why this is true would get us into a long rant about crazy Arizona legislature. So we're not going to do that. But Justin, tell us what home rule is, because what I see is the lack of factual knowledge, just basic factual knowledge, on all levels of government that's causing a problem.
Sure.
Justin?
Okay, so happy to explain a little bit. And as you stated, I'm not here to tell anybody how to vote, just to lay out some of the factual circumstance. Home rule comes from an amendment to the state constitution in 1980 that had to do with imposing expenditure limits on cities and towns. So essentially, what that said is whatever a community was spending in 1979 or 80, that limit would be in place in perpetuity except for adjustments made for inflation and population change. So what it really did was freeze the level of service, if you will, in that community moving forward. Now, because that can be somewhat onerous for some communities, especially given that certain levels of service weren't established at that point, utilities, other things that aren't excluded from that limit, they did provide a couple mechanisms to do something different. The one that we're having on the ballot this year is home rule, which basically allows the city council to establish the budget based on available resources. It's that simple, in essence.
City has to balance its budget, whatever, right?
That's correct. Balanced budget meaning we're limited to spend the dollars that come in any given fiscal year or dollars that were saved in previous years. So sometimes if you save a lot of money, say, to complete a big capital project, you might have a year where your expenses exceed revenues, but only by those dollars that you had saved in previous years.
So when I listen to that, what I hear is a problem for a place like Sedona, where the population, my gosh, in 1980 was almost nothing, but it's been steady for 10 years, the population. But the amount of people visiting Sedona has gone up and up. So the expenses to manage that have gone up and up, and that can't be used in the state calculation, the change in our circumstances here.
That's correct. And another one that's really significant is things like a wastewater operation. So when the city was incorporated in the late 80s, after this state limit thing was added to the Constitution, basically, we built the sewer plant a few years later. So whatever dollar amount we started with didn't even include a sewer plant. Now, Sedona didn't build a sewer plant because it just wanted to. It did so because the state regulators came in and said, we must build a sewer plant. So in today's dollars, that's $5 or $6 million per year in operations and capital funds that aren't excluded from the limit. Now, the limit is $13.5 million.
That's
so
amazing.
Just your sewer plant alone is getting close to half of that, and in any given year, it could be, you know, even more if you have major capital projects at that facility.
Tell us what happens if Sedona doesn't pass home rule. What's the effect on your budget that you're managing?
Yeah, good question. So this all has to do with the FY20 budget. That means July 1, 2019, by the way. We run on a fiscal year midway through the calendar year. Ultimately, in FY20, we project having a total budget of $49.5 million. And then I mentioned the state limit, which would be what we live with if home rule fails, is 13.5.
That is really preposterous.
My
opinion.
I want to clarify, there are a handful of costs that are excluded from the limit. Those are things like debt service. Okay, needless to say, you have to make your bond payments. There are a couple other things like the money we get for roads from the state or grant money. So in total, in that $49.5 million, about $10 million are excluded costs. So with those in the equation, if home rule fails, we're cutting the budget 51%.
51%.
If you take those things out of the equation, those excluded costs like bond payments, because those aren't really services. They're not programs provided to people. It's just simply paying the bills.
So be clear, voting against home rule would cut out 49% of the Sedona budget. We're voting for home rule means the budget of Sedona kind of goes merrily along as it has pretty much in the past.
That's right. A yes vote means the council continues to set the budget based on available resource. A no vote means a total cut of actually 51%. But again, if you take those excluded things out of the equation, bond payments, which you're going to make it 100%,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That means the rest of your budget is cut 66%. So that's more realistic in terms of the services that we provide to people today, that they'd lose at least two-thirds of
it. If you need, and the home rule question, that's now the Sedona City Council or the Sedona City Manager is not going to suspend discussion on the budget because home rule passes. It's not like they get a blank check to spend $49 million or 100% of whatever they get any way they want. They still have meetings and they make a budget. I'm putting these things out simple because it seems like in this particular question that the things have gotten clouded in an amazing way. How they've been able to tie, I'm going to throw it in right here right now, how they've been able to tie home rule to somehow getting better traffic. How to denying Sedona its ability to spend its budget is somehow going to make traffic better. I don't know how that works. You guys are going to explain it.
Tell us, Justin, I guess, include maybe the effect on traffic, but tell us what happens if home rule, what gets cut? I guess that's my question, Mike.
Now, I can't say for sure because the city council adopts the budget. I present a budget, and I do that with the assistance of a citizen work group, lots of meetings, meeting with staff, meeting with outside agencies. But what we're really talking about there is $13.5 million because those exclusions, like I said, things like debt service, those are off to the side in this scenario. So $13.5 million in FY20, we project spending $10 million on transportation projects alone. So obviously that's not going to happen if you're going to continue to employ some staff.
If home rule happens, you're not going to have money to help work on the traffic problem.
If home rule fails, it would be difficult to fund substantial capital projects because 13.5 doesn't go very far even in operations. Let me lay out one more scenario just to give this some context. I mentioned before, if you take the exclusions out, you're cutting the budget 66%. If you fund wastewater at the projected spending levels in FY20, and you can't walk away from the wastewater plan, not without getting in trouble by the regulators, then you're looking at cutting the rest of the budget 77%. If on top of that you funded our police department at projected spending levels in FY20, you're at 96% cut to the remainder of the organization. So in that scenario, you've got a wastewater plant, you've got a police department, and you're spending your money on paying debt and funding grant sources and things like that, and you have almost no money left to do anything else. That's no city manager. That's no IT department. That's no HR. That's no one to print and cut checks. That's nobody else in that scenario. Obviously, that's unworkable. So the question becomes, how do you administer these cuts among critical services like PD, where, you know, oftentimes we have one dispatcher in the room? You can't have half a dispatcher, you know, for any period of time, right? You've got to answer the phone when someone dials 911. So every time you keep a critical service like that, you're cutting the rest of the organization, not 66, not 77% like I described, but more and more and more to offset all of those programs, the critical ones that you need to fund at 100%.
What would be lost, Justin, if it failed? It seemed like it would be a catastrophe, and we'll have Steve talk about if it did fail. But what would go? That's very important to Sedona's citizens.
So like I mentioned, I can't say for sure, but as I look at this as an administrator, and again, not taking a position yes or no, simply asking myself, how do I present a budget to council that fits within that $13.5 million limit? Certainly our support for outside agencies would be very difficult in that scenario because it's going to be hard enough to fund police and some of the other critical services. So those are organizations like the Sedona Library. We make a big contribution to the Verde Links, the Sedona Community Center, Verde Valley Caregivers, the Sedona Community Food Bank, Oak Creek Watershed Council, the Humane Society. We fund a number of other things that are probably more in the fun category, you know, events throughout the year. Sedona Can received some money. Sedona Arts Center received some money to put on some programs. Guards for Humanities had a small grant last year. So there's a lot of those other nonprofit groups that would be very difficult to fund. Sedona Recycles is another big one. So that's probably where I would start because those are external agencies. They're not as critical to the essential Sedona mission as, say, repairing roads and cops.
But they are things that make are essential to Sedona's, I guess, character and a different. So, Steve, this Justin laying out the facts of this thing makes me wonder why there's opposition to it. Since, if I understand it, the city has the money, right, Justin? It's not raising taxes. This doesn't raise taxes, right?
This doesn't affect the tax rate at all. So something that's really important for people to know is we'll pay all the same taxes we ever paid. It just limits the city's ability to spend those tax dollars on the kinds of services that I'm talking about.
City would still have the same amount of money. It just wouldn't be able to spend it, which just seems such a good idea.
Now I think it's fair to say that Sedona, the city did recently create a half-cent sales tax dedicated to transportation projects. So in some cases, you know, some people might see the ability to set the budget where the city decides as a mechanism to allow tax increases. But again, that was a pretty limited situation. The citizens were polled. It was planned for what most people believe is the top priority in the city, which is funding those transportation projects.
So you did raise a tax.
That's right.
And there's a huge $30 million. Actually, it's by modern status, $30 million is not a lot of money to spend on traffic solutions. So Sedona's probably number one problem. Steve, why is there opposition? And I believe there's some organized opposition to home rule when honestly, I mean, I'm looking at Mike, and it's like it's a no-brainer.
Well, it is a no-brainer, but I wanted to ask a question for clarification first. When you say that if you were to fund the police department and fund the wastewater department, you would basically be down to 3%?
Yeah, closer to 4%. So we'd have a healthy 4%.
Yep. So basically, if we keep those two services, we're going to have 4% to fund the rest of it. And I want to know people hear that, because when I say that to people, they go, good. The people who are against it, they go, great. And I go, why would you say that? And what they come up with, it's a recurring theme. Government's too big. City is crazy spending. We want to kill tourism. We want to stop the spending. No more giving money to local groups. No more fixing up trails. So it's this negative that I think that's come out of our national elections.
Yeah.
And I think part of it's a Tea Party issue that's gotten local. And so the idea is the way to fix Sedona government, or any government for that fact, is first you kill it, you starve it, and then it gets rebuilt. And when it's rebuilt, it's going to be more efficient. So that's kind of what I've gleaned by talking to I ask a lot of questions to people. We have one gentleman running for mayor who said that the community development can be run with three people. He's done the numbers. So these type of things, you can't have discussions with people like this because they just shut down. So it's a rebellion against government, and they don't want to take the time to look at the 3% or 4% would mean less. They were very happy to see us crash and burn.
So, but let's go back to one thing that you said, and that's about the tourists, that somehow they're going to stop coming. because our budget is smaller, a half of what it was.
Because you don't give money to the chamber.
Well, tourists are not going
to
stop.
I think people always like to be able to point at somebody or some entity that causes the problem. They don't think they want to look and see that we have lots of things that are going on. We identified tourism years ago and transportation as key areas we need to work on. And we came up with the idea of funding a $250,000 study. The study's come down and we've got Sedona in motion thanks to our government. We've funded it, and the funding of Sedona in Motion, this $30 million program, is going to be funded 70% plus by visitors.
Right.
Okay, so that's a good thing that came out of our studies. We also realized that we had traffic issues, so the Chamber and other groups have formed groups to look at traffic, give money to traffic. We realized that we have to move people around more efficiently. We are all working on all these things. The idea that the group that's running against Home Rule says that if we can stop the Chamber advertising for 2 years, the traffic will go back to the way it used to be in the good old days. I think we've heard that time, the good old days.
Yeah.
Well, we know that's a fallacy. Maricopa County is one of the fastest growing counties in America. 30-year-olds are moving in, dual family incomes. You know what? These people are different than the boomers in my age. They're going to go out and use four-wheel vehicles, whether we like it or not. They're going to hike. They're going to come up here and they eat. They don't shop quite as much. They don't use the art galleries the way the boomers did. So things are changing, and we have to cater to those people. And what we want to do is bring them in the times we need them and back off in the times we don't need them. So our philosophy has always been to market in January, February, and summer. Right now, summer in Sedona looks very, very poor. Most of the hotels are going to be at less than 50% occupancy. So normally,
but some residents, Steve, are happy about them. Now they may, the opponents may call themselves libertarians or Tea Partiers, mm-hmm. but in my dad's day, in a small tourist town in Oklahoma where we lived, my dad called them a ginners.
Mm-hmm.
He said the ginners always start with about 49%, and the people trying to do anything have to work all the way up and get 51% out of this. And he believed that these people were, and that's what I hear behind all the political rhetoric, is just against, or I'm against this, I don't get that.
It's easy to be against something, but you have to understand, we sit on two state highways. We have, I think, 7+ state parks within probably a 30-mile radius. You can only get to two state parks on 89A. So we're going to have traffic. We're in one of the most beautiful places in America. We aren't going to stop the people coming. What we can do, though, is manage it. And I think we've done a pretty good job of getting people, and I like to say, out of Sedona during the day. I think part of our job is getting them out into other areas. The Verde Valley is a great area. We should be getting people out moving, doing other things.
Send them to Cottonwood, to Mike's house.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And then, but I want you to hold that thought. Managing what we have, as opposed to, you know, throwing out the baby with the bath, and I mean, whatever other cliche you want to throw in there, seems a lot better than voting against home rule. You want to vote for home rule to at least control your environment. Voting against home rule does not get the desired end of controlling your environment. It does the exact
opposite. It would make things worse, Steve.
Well, you know, the whole point is that if you have a city council that has the funds to make decisions, they can do whatever they like.
And the public input, by the way.
Yeah, if you have a city council with absolutely no money, and because many times we say, you know, Steve, we'd love to do this or we'd love to do that, but we don't have the money in the budget. We have a very successful city. If this was someplace in Kansas, they'd be putting us on a parade and patting us on the back, because in Kansas with 8,000 people, we'd be lucky to have a Denny's.
Yeah.
So we're very lucky here. I think, and city manager can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've had double-digit growth in income for the last 4 or 5 years. Very few cities in this state are as successful as we are. What we concentrate on, and we've been concentrating on, is quality. We've been bringing people in from out of state who stay longer. They'd spend more, $600 to $700 a day. We don't have cheap $99 hotels in this town. We've only added, I think, 189 hotel rooms in 10 years. What we did this year, though, is we had a lot of rooms open up for overnight stays that weren't hotels. And SB 1350, the short-term rental, took away the power of the city to regulate to a point. And it showed this April. We had lots and lots of cars on Cook's Hill that we've never had before. The hotels were only up 1.5% in bookings this spring.
How many Airbnbs and similar things
the number, well, you've heard the number. You might have a better. I hear 8 to 11.
Justin.
Yeah, we're just in the process of monitoring that activity, and the preliminary results suggest about 1,000 listings.
And what's the effect of having all these small listings? I mean, I should say honestly that we use Airbnb and so what's the effect of having all these unregulated listings? I mean, how do you even know what's going on with them?
Yeah, it is difficult to say. One of the reasons we're getting into much more detailed analytics with the monitoring is to answer that question. For instance, you might have a 7-bedroom home that's listed and a party of 4 or 5 families come to stay in that home. I don't know what the equivalent in hotel rooms would be in that case, but maybe it's 7, maybe it's 8, I don't know. Now, there are other listings where people are just renting a bedroom out of their house periodically. So I think that's a goal of ours, is to better understand exactly what's going on. We know for certain that there are more people in town because of that activity. We see it in the disparity between our bed tax collection and the occupancy rate. Our bed taxes are up much more than they should be if you just look at activity at hotels. So we're certain there are more people here paying. And then one of the other impacts, kind of separate from this conversation, is we're losing workforce housing every day. And those are the kinds of things to tie this to home rule. The city council this year decided to make an additional investment using some of those dollars, some of the bed tax dollars coming from short-term rentals to help fund affordable housing.
I'll say as individually, when I was a tour guide, a lot of the guys lived in 2 or 3 areas. And those apartment complexes are not really very big. They're all short-term rentals now. And so I think it was already a problem when I was working, 4 years ago, I guess it is. And it was already a problem that people had to commute up here from quite a ways. And, of course, when you're something like a tour guide or you're working in a hotel and stuff, it makes a bigger difference, because if you can't go home for lunch, you can't do this.
Well,
live in Sedona, there's a real...
There's unintended consequences that came from this. And part of it is we, at any given time right now, we're 400 people short in help in Sedona. The hotels and businesses really need help. Those people who are living in those short-term rentals now are primarily in Cottonwood. Well, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:30, guess what? They're driving back to Cottonwood. So we have 300-400 people now that used to live in town, mm-hmm. commute in town, walk in town, bike in town, all driving to Cottonwood and back. So there's all kinds of consequences that have come out of this. But we're not going to put it back in the bottle. Okay? As the Hotel Association, we're not going to stop it. What we have to do is we have to look at it and say, how do we manage it? And that's what the city's good at. You know, we have to study it, we have to manage it, and we have to fund it.
Well, I have a question for Justin. Is do you have figures on the number of people that Steve is talking about, Mike talking about, who live somewhere else but work in Sedona? How percentage of our workforce lives somewhere else and commutes now?
I don't have total numbers, but I know for the city, 20% of our workforce lives in town, 80% lives out of town and commutes
wow.
in.
Wow. All right. I've been listening to you, gentlemen, and I thank you. And we're only 20 minutes into the show, and we have a good 20 minutes left. But I'm going to play the East Coast elitist, even though I've lived in Arizona for 50 years, and say, I don't believe we're even having this show. So and you guys are doing what you should do. You're taking the opposition seriously. Apparently, there's an opposition there in Sedona that believes that not controlling your own budget, not voting against home rule, is a good idea. And there are people like me that believe having home rule, voting for home rule, is the only thing that makes sense. There isn't even any other discussion. I would not even dignify the other side's argument by acknowledging it. You guys aren't doing that, and so I think that's wonderful. You guys are much better citizens than I am. You're taking this
absolutely
seriously.
Much better.
Well, you are, because
I think what you have to understand, because Sedona is
Robert De Niro here,
is a pretty liberal democratic town. but there's a strong group of really oppositional. And I think what Steve was talking about earlier is, and what my dad was talking about, and, you know, I mean, this is a small town in Oklahoma. It's not a bunch of radicals against somebody. It's dealing with people who are so angry and against everything. They think the city council is no good. There's all these fantasies of graft, all the stuff that doesn't exist. The anti-government feeling, Steve, I think is extended now to local government. And there's one thing to be critical, right? And there's one thing to be smart about local government, whether it's good. But it's another thing, this blanket, extreme hatred of government in all levels is undoing us.
Well, I think it's true. I think today, yesterday in the New York Times, there was an article they called the CNN Grandma. And you have a corresponding Fox Grandma. And what happens? They retire. The kids are gone. And they watch TV all day. And they get wrapped up in the news cycles. And it becomes a negative connotation. And then they hear the negative and the things that are bad. And so it takes away that thought process. And they look for simple, easy answers. You know, Sedona is a great retirement town.
Yeah.
But everybody came here as a tourist. And once they retire here, the fantasy somehow changed. They don't want any taxes to go up, although they don't pay any taxes. I hear our tax dollars, and I have to go, you don't pay any tax dollars. You don't pay food tax like Cottonwood does.
Yeah.
You know, so they're living virtually free here. It's a great thing. They should be very positive and very happy, but they aren't. And I don't know that we can fix people who aren't happy, but they like to look at things that are negative.
But they're getting organized, Stephen. They're producing candidates who are offering a fantasy of returning to the old days that never existed in Sedona. I mean, Sedona starts as a tourist economy. I mean, it's a thing you can say about tourism. It's a sustainable, properly managed, sustainable industry. It's not like a coal mine you're going to run out
of
coal.
We went through the recession
very well. Mines near where I'm from, where they run out of lead, and that's that. The miners are gone.
Well, you know, I want to make that. I moved to Sedona. I can't be the only one. I moved here to work in the service industry and go to school. That was my, 46 years ago or whatever, 1972. I moved to Sedona for those reasons. I knew there'd be plenty of service industry jobs, and that's quite frankly what I was qualified for. I have to admit I did a lot of construction jobs, and which I guess is still service industry, except you sweat a lot more, and went to school, and then that's what I did. I think it's not just we don't come from just tourists.
I think we got to be careful that it's not
city
us.
Managers moved here. Fire department.
Yeah,
firemen.
We got to be careful that it's become an us and them, and the them is the Chamber of Commerce and tourism.
Yeah.
But you know, we have 8,000 people that actually work in Sedona. They have good jobs. They have pays. We need to think about them. And so when people make comments like, "Well, we got to stop the day trippers," as a negative term.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They support a lot of people uptown who are making $15 an hour, and those merchants uptown who are paying $5,000 to $20,000 a month in rent. They need those people. So whenever we say we should just do this or do that, there's always another side to it. And what I try to bring up in my job, I think a little bit, is saying, look, I know you retired here and you have a view. There are people who live here and they have a view. There are people who visit here and they have a view. And I think the city council is good, has been good, about they take that all in. So it's not my Sedona. It's not your Sedona. You know, and who are we to say that somebody shouldn't come up out of the heat on a Saturday afternoon from Phoenix?
I have a question for you, Steve.
It's called freedom.
There's been it's sort of like town and gown conflict. There's been a conflict since we moved here in 2003 between the retirees and the people who are employed and working. There's always been a little tension and stuff. Why is it so much worse now? I mean, some of it is going to be natural. Retirees have a little bit different interests than people who are working. I mean, people are working, you've got to have a job. And if you're working in a tourist industry, you got to have tourists.
Well, I think this year it set it off because going down Cook's Hill on 89A, the traffic was really pretty severe at certain times. And I think people were sitting in their car saying, what's going on? And so it's real easy to pick up the solution of, well, the tourists are killing my town.
Yeah.
And what I've tried to come back and say, I hear you. I get stuck in it. But it, there's no simple solution, but 1350 and our governor caused a big portion of it. So all I'm saying is let's put the anger where it belongs a little bit. Let's share it a little bit. We're all in the same boat. I hear people rant and rave about the crosswalk at Tlacopaki. Well, I go through that 10 times, 20 times a day. That's not the problem, okay? Right. We can't point at one or two little things and say that's the problem. The city has a great program, the Sedona in Motion, that already works with the Yellow Shirts. The Yellow Shirts have done an amazing job. Now, I know the city has a hard time getting them.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're funded now. You know why they're funded? We have money coming in from bed tax and sales tax and parking meters. So when the city has the funds and we have a good progressive city council, they'll identify the problems and they'll work on them. But if we only have 4% of the money left over, we're not going to fix anything. And one other thing I'm in passing, we have a cadre of people in this town who just say no to government. Mm. I call them drive-by politicians. They throw stones. The idea was, I could see at the last bond election for the fire department, there was a lot of things said there that weren't true, like we don't need a hook and ladder truck. That's ridiculous. Well, we have people that know nothing making statements whether we need a hook and ladder truck or not, or whether we need a building or not. You know, we have competent city management. We have professionals like our city manager. We hire outside consulting firms who we use. We need to go back and start trusting the professionals we hire and listening to them and not driving by and throwing tea party stones the way I say it.
But let me add, as an ex-reporter, you're not writing them a blank check. Go to the council meetings. Go to City Hall. You think he's incompetent? Find a way to get rid of him. The city council hired him. They'll get rid of him.
That's the way
the system works. I want to connect this dot, though, even though it's obvious. It's my job is to point out the obvious. 1350, that Senate bill, Arizona Senate bill 1350, allowed people to use their, created in this town, over 1,000 extra rooms. The hotel industry didn't build 1,000 extra rooms. And so that 1,000 extra rooms where people are coming and staying short term, has increased the traffic at some point. Who knows exactly how much.
And I don't think we've gotten the word out that, I don't think we've gotten the word out on a lot of things. I don't think we've gotten the word out on Sedona in Motion. I don't think people realize they're going to lose a great thing with that. The other thing is I think 1350 is an elitist, proposition. It exempts, homeowners associations. They can absolutely say, we don't like that law, we're going to ignore it, but the city government doesn't have the same option. So the people on View Avenue and some of these other streets, they have row after row of houses that are being rented out. But if you live up in Les Springs, you're exempt from that.
Oh.
That's really something that bothers me a lot. And the people who wrote for this law and passed this law, I'm sure they live in homeowners associations in Phoenix. So that's one thing that really bothers me a lot.
As well it should. I don't think that's very
It's very revealing, don't you think, Mike? It's very revealing that they basically let the wealthy off. So, Steve, there's more conflict in town. It seems to me that the topography of Sedona is very difficult. The amount of tourism is pretty amazing. So, Justin, we need a well-organized, strong government to run a place this complicated with small number of citizens and millions of visitors. I mean, you really have to be organized to deal with this. And I heard people who were opposed to even doing the traffic study to find out how to do something. They were against it. $250,000, we had a traffic study 20 years ago. So what can, as a city manager, what can you do to keep the organization of the city solid?
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of things. First, I would say that priorities do change and circumstances change. So, for instance, traffic has been more a focal point now than it was prior to the recession, although I think most of us who go back and read the old newspaper stories understand that traffic's always been a point of contention among people. So the priority shifted. We focused on transportation, and then something like 1350 happens. And we're asking ourselves the question, how do we respond? Just to put some of that in context, you know, before the recession, the largest budget in 2008, which was right before things started to decline, was $60 million. Our budget projected in 20 is a little less than $50 million. If you look at actual spending, and there's always a gap there, and there's some complicated state laws that make it that way, but actual spending in 2009, which is the peak before the recession, 37.6. The last projection we had for spending this current fiscal year is somewhere around 38, 39. So what I'm saying is we're not a lot bigger, but priorities have shifted. Now, where does that money come from? We do other things to be creative. So, for instance, we used to have an external contract to manage our grants. We spent $50,000 a year on an outside consultant. We moved that service in-house and didn't add any payroll so that we could do that in a more creative way. We recently created a sustainability coordinator position. This is an area of focus in our community plan. We're trying to do our best to honor the plan that was approved by the voters, but we didn't want to spend new money to do it. So when we had a vacancy in our community development department, we repurposed the same dollars to fill this new position. So that's kind of how change occurs. It's not always growth. It's oftentimes expansion in one area and contraction in another, just based on circumstance.
Well, that's a Democratic perspective. You know, like Justin, city manager, what you just heard, city manager Sedona, he can't take a position on home rule, but we can. We think, I'm going to speak for Steve for a moment. And
you can speak for me.
Okay.
On this issue.
That's it. We think the voting against home rule is about the silliest thing I've ever heard. You want to make Sedona great again. Mike Cosentino, Pete Adams, and Jeffrey Roth moved here in 1972. That's an ex-Marine, ex-Army, ex-Air Force, and we were able to live here. And we were thrilled to live here. And Pete was a bartender over the aisle. Jeffrey Roth, of course, created one of the premier jewelry places under the bells of Tlaquepaque for 35 years until he recently sold it. I hear he's back in town. Mike Cosentino did whatever he did. He pulled weeds, poured coffee, and became an English teacher. Anyway, point is, we all lived here. We hiked here. We loved it here. We thanked our lucky stars every day. We were able to live in Sedona. We lived in this. We had this resort life in poverty wages, and we're grateful for it. So that's the Sedona I would like to get back to. Maybe, you know, these guys that came here with no money were able to work and live and prosper, and that's what made Sedona great.
I think it's you know, I know from having worked here 10 years in the tourist industry as a tour guide, it's gotten more and more difficult to live in Sedona and afford a Sedona. And it's not just housing. The rents on the stores and stuff are extremely high. One of the things I think, Mike, is that, you know, having areas where the rents are not high produces these weird little innovative stores, like in Old Town. Mm-hmm. When you have very high rents, people, and Steve will tell you this because he's in business, you can't take the kind of chances if you have high rents, if you have a lower rent. And we don't have a low rent district where guys can experiment with some store. When I first came here, and I guess 2002, visited 2000, it was filled with all these weird little new agey stores. And, you know, I'm not into it, but they gave the town a kind of distinctive character. And, when you went into the stores, they were very beautiful, even if you don't believe that, you know, rose quartz is going to improve your love life. Rent, Steve, and cost in Sedona, can the city do anything to ameliorate this? Can they do anything for, as Mike is talking about, workforce housing?
Well, it's a tough one. I've been on that group for many years, and we've looked at it from 20 angles, and our dirt's just expensive, any way you look at it. And there are things the city can do, and there are things we're looking at, but, you know, when you look at the price of the land, and then you build, and Sedona's a very expensive town to build in. Upscale housing now, per square foot, it's pushing $400 for a square foot for an expensive rich home. $800 to $1,000 a square foot is more the average. And the trouble right now is that there's not enough subs. Everybody's having a hard time. So when you go in to build an apartment building and you go to pencil it out.
Hey, just for context, $150, $160 a square foot is probably Cottonwood price, you know, for a two $220,000.
So, I mean, when you look at the reality, you know, you can build in Cottonwood, you can do something in Cottonwood. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, and I think we have to look at ourselves as a regional area. And I'm not saying I want to build 1,000 square foot homes that middle class people can use. That's kind of my goal for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I can't find the land to do it on. Now, the city has changed some of the regulations to make it easier. The city and they've been criticized for that. So it's going to be a tough one. Now, if you look at Scottsdale, I went down and looked at Scottsdale, 26 miles long. Okay, you have the low-income housing at one end and the high-income housing at the other. So people travel back and forth. So we're going to have this corridor between Camp Verde and Cottonwood. But if we had transportation, and we're working on it,
right.
I think the city and the chamber just gave some more money to the local transportation for that. That's all going to come together. We're working on those things. Uber's changing. The way these self-driving cars are changing.
Yeah.
If we can get trailhead access so that the hotels can drop off at trailheads, I can't take people to trailheads and pick up. Okay,
but as a hotel.
As a hotel or as a group. We could put together a group of hotels, and we would fund an organization that would do that. We're not allowed to do it, but we're working on it. And they aren't insurmountable things. So the city is sponsoring these groups, and we're meeting. So we will work through these things. But, you know, they don't happen overnight. The one thing I learned coming from the private industry, I could get anything done in a week. Okay, and I know that it takes a year. Here, but it does. But it's good because it's thought out, it's well done, it's funded. So I respect the process.
The Steve Segner trademark in Sedona, I believe, is get it done. I mean, if what I've told stories, by the way, in Cottonwood, Segner comes in and says, I got an idea, the blah, blah, blah. And he said, okay, well, people like Justin say, well, why don't we form a committee? He said, I'll pay for it. Oh, okay, well, that hurries things along a little bit. I'm obviously exaggerating.
You did I don't want to just spend hours flattering you, but you did a wonderful job with all the signs and Sedona history signs that go from Tlacopaque area and up, and you recently put lights on them, and it was so successful. I mean, I see people just stopping at the signs. People are walking now. If you make it a little more – Sedona, the thing I noticed moving here is that it's not a very pleasant walking place.
No.
And,
but,
you know, you help make it.
It is what you say it is. And we for many years, we said, well, it's a hard town to walk in. So it was a hard town to walk in.
Right.
And I looked at that hill, and it was daunting to people. But I know people will go from thing to thing to thing to thing. So I decided, to give them things to look at. And so that was the first step, and people would start using it. Now that we have lights at night, I think you're going to find that it's going to even draw you more. So I can go have dinner, drink uptown, and walk back down to my hotel. So, yeah. And we're doing that all over town, and bike paths. You know, so those are all incremental things we're working on.
Well, certainly, and Old Town Cottonwood has used that model very, very well. I mean, they just put 40 new rooms down there, so mm-hmm. Now you can drink and walk to all the places that Old Town Cottonwood offers.
We're talking with Justin Clifton, who's the city manager of Sedona, and Steve Segner, who's the chair of the hospitality. What is the name of it?
Sedona Lodging Council.
The Lodging Council. And we're talking about home rule, which I hope we've sort of explained. We've got 1 minute. Home rule, let's do the things that it's not going to do. It's not going to raise your taxes. It's not going to unbalance the budget. And the budget is, if I understand Justin correctly, is pretty much at 2009 levels anyway. So why would you vote against this? I guess that's Mike and my, as just sort of citizen people, you know, like, why would you vote against this? We got 1 minute, so...
One thing I think that would help the listeners, if you go to azelections18.com, we have a link there. On Justin's video talking about this and all the supporting data from the city. I think if you want the information, just go to azelections18.com or go to the city website and take some time and familiarize yourself with the information.
Excellent point. Yeah, educate yourself. This is an important issue. Home rule should be in favor of it. Go for it. A lot of good information. Don't forget, this show and all our shows are on vvid.org. We want to say thank you to Democrats of the Red Rocks for their continued support. We want to make sure that you know that Democratic Perspective is streamed on the Chasm website. It's streamed on TuneIn. But all our shows are on vbid.org, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org, archives all our shows, and actually tune in archives Democratic Perspective. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.